This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at LinkedIn.com/decide. That's LinkedIn.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Listen up, San Diego.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
It's the end of the workday, but Gwen and Chris is just getting started. New year, same Gwen and Chris.
Well, you don't need a shrink to tell you that this guy's a raving psycho.
With Tony Quinn Jr.
Ooh, I'm going to go over.
Over.
She's performing with Shakira, so there's going to be at least six changes in between the two.
And Chris Ello.
You remember Game Shark?
You guys might as well be talking in Swahili right now. I don't have any idea what you're talking about.
Gwen and Chris help you get home from work. Now on 97.3 The Fan.
4:04 on the clock, Tony Gwynn Jr. here all by myself. No, I'm just kidding. Thomas Andrews is here too. Chris Ello will join us a little bit later on in the show. Hour number one in the books. We move on to the second hour, and I made a trivia boo-boo. I got my years mixed up.
Uh-oh.
Wasn't 2003. So who did the Los Angeles Lakers to after the 2004, 2004 final? You got that answer? You got those sales tickets. So, now, Bo, you can go ahead and handle the rest, man. Get to see who's the first caller to get it in. NFL, you know, they can't be outdone. You know, generally speaking, especially the last 2 years, they've ruled the off-season conversations, right? When their season wasn't in, we were still talking football. And that hasn't really been the case. Baseball has held their own during their offseason as we move into their season. Basketball is in season right now, so obviously they're the top of a conversation. But this is a big deal right here. The NFL, the new CBA, which is due here pretty soon, will now it was voted on and agreed upon by the owners. It now shifts to the NFL players. And the NFL Players Association intends to hold a vote of its full body of players, a proposed collective bargaining agreement next week. A source has told ESPN's Dan Graziano the vote is still expected despite an NFLPA statement saying its board of representatives has declined to vote on a recommendation in hopes of further meetings with the NFL management. This is a tough spot for the NFLPA, right? Because you have the NFL has kind of, in some sense, kind of rammed us down their throat a little bit. And that seems to be the sense from a lot of the players. They're what they're trying to do, it seems, is they're trying to pit the middle of the pack and lower tier guys against the top tier. This has been always been the strategy of ownership when it comes to football. And it's worked brilliantly almost every single time. I don't know that it's going to work this time. These players are much more in tune with things they want. The sticking point, at least from everything that we've read, has been that 17th game. But there's a lot being thrown at this players as a whole. Now, the go ahead, Thomas. You wanted to comment on. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I mean, some of the nice things that we're going to see as fans-wise, yes, we're going to get they want to propose another 17th game, which would, I mean, incline, you would think you would have a 19-week regular season, including potentially two byes thrown in there with some players, and they want to extend the wild card weekend game. So instead of getting the four, we would get six games in that first weekend, three on Saturday, three on Sunday. Also, they would, you know, increase the roster from 53 players to 55 and have 48 players be active on game day and the maximum of 14 players on the practice squad to a total number of players on a roster to 69.
Yeah. In a statement from the NFLPA, that today the NFLPA Board of Players representatives did not take a vote on the principal terms of a proposed new collective bargaining agreement. The statement read, the executive committee looks forward to meeting the NFL management again next week before the board takes a vote shortly after. So it sounds like the NFLPA wants to discuss some terms with the NFLPA, or excuse me, with the NFL. The NFL has agreed to meet with the NFLPA on Tuesday at the scouting combine in Indianapolis, a source told Graziano. But it's unclear whether that meeting will result and further discussion about terms. The NFLPA Board of Players representatives then plan to vote that night or Wednesday morning, with a full vote waiting until after the outcome of the board's vote on a recommendation. The NFL owner, however, told ESPN Adam Schefter that owners would not be receptive to further talks on a proposed CBA. That makes a big deal, because if the NFLPA is trying to renegotiate, they're going to hold, probably it's unlikely that they're going to renegotiate or have more negotiation discussions. They want to vote on this particular deal probably before they're willing to discuss anything else. Earlier Friday, the NFLPA Executive Council voted 6-5 not to recommend the proposal, as first reported by NFL Network and confirmed by ESPN. Now, a simple majority of the full membership would be required to approve the collective bargaining agreement. Anyone who has paid the NFLPA dues during the 2019-20 league year. An estimated 2,100 players are eligible to vote. So the majority, I think it's a 3/4, so 75%, I believe, has to win. Just a simple majority. So just a simple majority has to go in favor of either accepting the collective bargaining agreement or turning it down. Thomas mentioned, sources told Graziano there has been discussions among union leaders and union lawyers on this point for several days, and they settled on having a full vote regardless of the recommendation of the players' rep. So although the players' rep will get the first crack at this vote, they're still going to have a full vote, which will take the just a simple majority in order to approve or disapprove of this CBA.
It seems like they've given us a nice outline that everything, you know, looks great on paper, but if you go and look at some of the players and people voicing their opinion, especially some of the more vocalizing players, like J.J. Watt and Richard Sherman, both have been very adamant about, make sure you're talking to your player rep before you start signing anything, because they have a feeling that, you know, those are the type of guys that this is getting into a target with the 17th week, because the more established guys that make a little more. And I just don't think a lot of these players want to play a 17th game.
Here's what you have to remember. This isn't really even though that may be true, this isn't targeting guys like J.J. Watt and Richard Sherman, because they're not going to be in this league that much longer.
True.
When it's all said and done. This is for the next Richard Sherman, the next J.J. Watt. Those are the guys that need to be paying attention to this collective bargaining. Now, J.J. Watt and Richard Sherman, I mean, they probably have a few more years left to play at the NFL, maybe a little bit longer. But for the large part, this is more concentrated towards the next guys in line to become the next Watt, the next Sherman. So it's going to be interesting. Some of the things, as you mentioned, some of the bullet points, the elimination of any game suspension strictly for positive marijuana tests. A reduction in number of players subjected to testing for marijuana, gambling definition that ensures players receive a portion of the gambling revenue brought in by the league. Alterations to training camp, including a quote-unquote introduction to a 5-day acclimation period, a limit of 16 days in pads, and a limit of 4 joint practices in a 3 preseason game scenario.
So we take away a preseason game and add a regular season game, essentially.
Yes, yes. And that second seed is no longer getting a bye. So
they would play essentially the primetime game of the wild card weekend. Then.
Exactly. It's going to be interesting to see what the vote's like on that. I like the fact that they're doing the full vote. 2,100 guys will get an opportunity to put their hand up or say yay or nay. And we'll see where it goes. This is going to have lasting effects for the collective bargaining agreement after this, the one after that. And so this is a big decision for NFL players and what they decide.
And, I mean, we're looking at, you know, we've kind of got a little bullet points and stuff here. But, man, there's so much more that goes into this whole CBA. And this is just the outskirt of it because it doesn't even expire till the end of next season. So the guys trying to get a head start on jump on this is, I mean, looks good because we don't want to end up like 2011 where you go into the offseason and there's no league.
There's no league. Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Coming up in just a bit, we will call out the name of our biggest fan, and they have 10 minutes to call back and be entered to our grand prize drawing to win one of two Las Vegas trips to see Shania Twain at Planet Hollywood Resort and Casino, along with a two-night stay and dinner at Cafe Hollywood. If we don't call your name, keep listening, because if the biggest fan doesn't call in time, you can call in and take their place. Make sure you sign up at 973thefansd.com/biggestfan to enter. And make sure you listen for your name in the 7 a.m., 1 p.m., and 4 p.m. hours on The Fan. All right, we're going to step away, take a break. When we return, we got a little Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder preview. Big fight this weekend. One of the few, I think it's like the fifth, undefeated heavyweight championship fight we've had in the history of boxing.
So, they're saying this is the fight that could bring boxing back.
Yeah, we'll see about that. We've been a lot about it. I'm a boxing fan. I don't know if it'll ever be back like it was. But anyway, we'll talk about it when we come back. This is Gwen and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. But first, let's take a look at traffic with Kelly D. .420 on the clock, Tony Gwynn Jr. Chris Ello will join us a little bit later on in the show. Remember, only a three-hour show today. Chris has got to get out of here and head he's going to be with the women's Aztec squad, basketball squad. I have to catch a flight to Arizona because spring training baseball starts tomorrow. I'm looking forward to it. But that's not what we're talking about in this segment. Big fight this weekend for you fight fans out there. Deontay Wilder taking on Tyson Fury. If you didn't see the first match, I highly recommend you find it somewhere because it was fight of the year in 2018. A lot of people felt like Tyson Fury really dominated that fight, but he got hit by Wilder, and not too many people last on after being hit by Wilder. Tyson Fury did, though. He was able to get back up. And his fight ended in a draw, but they're having fight number two, and it's caused contention between a lot of folks, especially Stephen A. Smith and legendary boxing trainer Teddy Atlas. Here's a quick little minute clip of those two guys getting after each other.
Listen and learn something. He's in a position mental. 75% of this game is mental. And he's not as sure of himself as he acts. And he might go in there to get it over with. To roll the dice. Desperation.
Well, listen. Let me tell you something, Teddy, okay? First of all, you're wrong when you say I don't listen. Because I listen and learn from you, okay? Because of the stuff that I talk about boxing, I get from you.
Listen,
so you watch your tone when you're talking to your pupil. That's number one. Number two, when you sit up there and you talk about Tyson Fury, understand this. And to correct me if I'm wrong, this is the situation.
I will.
In order for him to knock Wilder out, he's going to have to plant his feet. In order to do that, he's going to have to stand there. And in order to stand there, you got to be willing to take it yourself. I don't know of anybody who's willing to take it from Wilder. I don't think Fury's that dumb. I think he's talking. He's going to come out dancing, and then ultimately he's going to get caught.
So, you know, I'm a boxing fan, but I don't talk about it as well as this gentleman joining us on the show today, Bo Templin, who has been on our show back in the day, like when we were first getting started.
Old school.
Big fight this weekend. How do you see this fight kind of shaking out?
So can I correct Odd Thomas here first?
Yeah, go for it.
He's saying that this could be the fight that brings back boxing?
That's what he said.
Boxing is already back.
Is it?
Boxing is already back. How could we had fight of the year in 2018, okay? The two biggest stars in heavyweight in the biggest division. And within 2 years, we're getting a rematch?
I mean, when you say we, How many people are you talking about? Boxing isn't like, people aren't following boxing like it used to.
Maybe not in America, but look globally.
But that's what this we is, are, though.
But boxing, they're just trying to sell tickets and sell fights. And right now, they are doing that better than they have in, honestly, like two decades.
There you go. Enlighten me, then. There you go.
Two decades. This is the longest it's been in two decades. I mean, there was a period of time during the early 2000s. You have Chris Bird, who's a San Diego native right now.
That was a while ago.
But it's this mixy, kind of messy period of time in boxing where it's Bird, the Klitschko brothers, and then late 2000s, it gets even worse. And now, for the first time, we have a bad man from Alabama, the Alabama slammer, Deontay Wilder, okay? You have the Gypsy King, Tyson Fury, who is as good of a boxer at heavyweight as we've ever seen. Okay, do not deny that at all. He is as good as we've ever seen. At 6'9", he has a great jab, and he dances.
That's a heavy jab,
bro.
Too.
He dances in that ring, though. Dances.
Okay,
so he floats.
So tell me about, who do you think wins this fight?
So in the first fight, I predicted, I do all this stuff, right? You know, I love the fight game, right?
Yes.
So I predicted that Fury would win on points in the first fight. Obviously, we ended up in a draw.
Were you upset with the decision? Did you think it was a fair decision?
I think a draw is the perfect decision. Okay? Don't even play. Fury wins on points. Wilder has the big shot. Combine the two, and we have a draw. Let's run it back.
Okay, let's play some sound from Tyson Fury in regards to Mr. Wilder.
You know, you get ready in the changing room, your mindset changes, you're on the ring walk, your mindset changes again, and then when you get in the ropes, your mindset changes again, and you get ready for battle. It's like a switch you flick, and you become a different person.
Tyson, he's always pretty loose.
Oh, he's animated.
He's not the type of guy that's going to be scowling, and he's going to be his normal self, which is animated. As you heard him there, he'll be like that all during the pre-fight.
So in his last fight, he takes on Otto Wallin, the Swede, right? He comes out
in
a sombrero because it's Mexican Independence Day weekend. That's
been done before.
Yeah, by Floyd.
Yeah.
So that's pretty elite company to begin with. Like, let's just start there. If that's the comeback, right, that it's been done before and it's only been Floyd, I think that's pretty good company to be a part of.
Okay.
Okay, so fight one, Wilder lands that big shot, right, in the 12th.
Yes.
Okay. Now, there's two things I want to take away from this. People are saying, oh, well, now we know Tyson Fury can take the punch. Oh, so he can now fight a different fight. Even Stephen A. and Teddy Atlas are saying he's going to be able to plant his feet now. That is so wrong. That is so – you do not take that punch again. If Fury eats that shot again, it's over. Do not even
think – the brain can't sustain that a second time.
Do not even think for a second that he is getting up again, okay? He gets popped, it's over. So Fury's got to go. He's got to dance.
Let's play some sound from Wilder.
The objective of the fight was to knock him out, and I did that well. And this is where I'm coming into this fight as well, just being patient, setting traps, being able to understand what he's able to do, because I've been in that with him before, so we know each other a little bit more than we did before. And with that being said, it's going to be an amazing fight, one of those fights, that a blockbuster fight that you do not want to miss at all.
Doing his best to promote this fight. All right, the floor is yours.
Thank you. So we get the
he said he's gonna be setting honey traps for him during this fight.
By the way, both these guys are about to make like $28 million.
Good for them.
In an hour's time, they're going to get paid $20.
They only got to get hit in the face really hard for
and a while. Get knocked
right, possibly
out.
Be knocked out.
Yeah. So
I guess it's worth $28 million.
Yeah,
right?
I think so too.
sign
me up. Yeah. Sign me up. So he gets rocked in the 12th, right? Now there's a big part of this. Jack Reese is the referee in this first fight. Not many refs are going to let Fury continue.
Yeah.
People really overlooked that aspect, that dynamic of the first fight. Jack Reese is this wildy vet. He's been around the sport a long time. He saw the look in Fury's eyes that he could go. There are a ton of referees.
That would end
and
it.
I don't know who's officiating the fight
on Saturday.
Saturday. Now, also worth noting, all the judges are American.
Ooh.
So
we're talking about the boxing game here. So that actually, even
come
though it should have nothing to do with anything, it actually does have something to do with anything.
I think it has to do a lot. It's in America. It is three American judges making this decision, and I think that could play a big part of it. So with Wilder, right, the game is you have to guess. Is it going to be a straight right or is it going to be an overhand right? You look at his his last fight against Luis Ortiz, King Kong Ortiz.
That was a straight, wasn't it?
So for six rounds, Ortiz guessed right. He was up 6-0 on the scorecards. But in that seven.
He guessed wrong.
He thought it was the overhand right. And well, what do you know? Coming down Main Street is the straight right. It's over. And you know what? Honestly, I've gone back and forth in this a million times. I keep convincing myself that Fury's going to win this thing on points. But right now, live,
you think Wilder,
connects and it's over.
I think that's his best bet because I don't think he's going to be able to, unless he has finally learned how to put together rounds where he can outbox somebody, that's going to be the way he does it.
I am at the point in my career where it's just, I'm not going to even question Deontay Wilder anymore.
He's proved me wrong
so many times.
He has.
He's got the power.
That fight is Saturday. If you want to check it out, pay-per-view, Wilder versus Fury 2. We're going to get to break. When we come back, we have ourselves a big five, and Thomas Andrews is driving the car. Gwen and Chris, San Diego's number one sports agent. Don't say that. 97.3, The Fan. .435 on the clock, Tony Gwynn Jr. We got to get to traffic before we head to that big five. When we get to that big five, Chris Ellen will join us. So enjoy traffic from Kelly D.
Traffic is brought to you by Fix Auto Collision Center. As a traffic alert has been issued westbound 8 for a small brush fire past Waring Road. It's in the center divide. Looks like fire crews have got that left lane blocked. Southbound side of the 805 clearing an accident right around Imperial. You're pretty much slow all the way off the split. And that North 5 coastline is a beast this afternoon. A couple of earlier crashes. The other one right around Mission Avenue. That's where it finally lets up. A traffic accident can be a real headache, so let Fix Auto Collision Centers help. Fix Auto has locations throughout the San Diego area. Call 1-800-INFO-FIX to find the location nearest you. Fix Auto, the first words that should come to mind after an accident. I'm Kelly Danik with Gwen and Chris on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
It's now time to expand our horizons, step outside the box.
Who the hell are you guys?
And turn this show upside down.
No. Whatever it is, no.
Gwen and Chris will now talk about the best of the rest in the one, the only, the extraordinary. The Big Five, which starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Matt Scraby out today, sitting in the producer chair today, Thomas Andrews.
Well, but still playing the violins almost as well as Scraby does.
You know, Thomas, here's your Big Five. Go ahead.
All right, guys, thanks for all the pressure.
Number five.
All right, the term team-friendly gets brought up a lot every time when guys are about to re-sign, and especially when a player's about to hit the open market, and that hasn't changed when it comes to contract status of Dallas Cowboys star quarterback Dak Prescott. And it doesn't appear that Prescott is interested in giving the Cowboys a hometown deal, or else him and the Joneses would have agreed to a contract extension last season. Reports over the average annual salary of Prescott...
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Scott's next contract will look like he's will have anywhere between 30 and 40 million per year. But if it were up to the NFL's all-time leading rusher, Emmitt Smith, Prescott would take less money on his next contract and make it up for endorsements when it comes to playing quarterback for America's team. Now, here is Emmitt talking about Dak on the Adam Lefko show about taking a home-friendly discount.
Dak has to understand and maybe take another perspective. The perspective may not be all the money that you get. It may be how much of the money you're willing to leave on the table, because the Cowboys is a marketable organization.
And so if you got all that extra money, that's
so
not
if you are the face of the franchise, would it not, instead of taking 35, would you take 28 and leave some for Amari and pick up the other 35 through endorsements?
Now, you've been on the Cowboys, so you know about that. If somebody said that to you while you were playing, and if let's say it was another Hall of Famer like yourself, would you as a kid be able to listen to that? Because it's nice to say from afar.
I practically did that.
Did you really?
I practically did that.
Tell me about that. I didn't know this.
I mean, in some cases, you leave money on the table. You don't get everything that you ask for.
Right.
I wanted $28 million when I had the whole lot. I wanted to be an $8, $9 million back. I wanted $28 million for like 3 to 4 years.
And then who talked to you and said?
No one talked to me. It's just the fact that when I missed those first two games, it's like, okay, just give me the money I need to have. Let me go ahead and do what I need to do.
Right.
And go from there, and then maybe I'm back at the table again.
All right, now, Tony, Chris, do you guys agree what Emmitt Smith had to say about Dak taking a team-friendly discount to stay with the Cowboys? Start with
me,
you, Tony.
First?
Yeah.
No. I think, listen, I don't think it's to each his own, right? I wouldn't begrudge Dak Prescott if he took a hometown discount. But I certainly don't expect him to take a hometown discount, and not mad at him for that either. I think my dad played that role of, you know, giving the quote unquote hometown discount.
He invented the term, practically.
He very well might have, but that was what he wanted to do, and in his mind, he was okay with that. If Dak is okay with that, cool, but nobody should expect him, and it's especially a little weird that Emmitt Smith is speaking on it. You know, it's like...
It's easy for Emmitt to say. Right. He's already made all his money.
He's made his money at the time. Didn't he end up having a holdout with them at some point?
I think he had a couple little squabbles.
So, you know, at the end of the day, I think Dak should do what's best for Dak.
All right, I'm going to disagree 100% just for fun. I think Dak should do what's best for the Cowboys, because what's best for the Cowboys ultimately is best for Dak. And yes, you want to make as much money as you possibly can, but we're not talking about if you took a, quote, discount, that the guy would be poor and groveling for money on the streets. He'd still be in pretty good shape. And I think Emmitt Smith is right to a certain extent. When you're the quarterback for America's team, you've got built-in endorsements that are just going to go along with that. Now, if you want to make even more money, be on a good team. Get to the playoffs. I mean, Dak Prescott has earned this level of
excellence without really doing anything excellent yet. I mean, I think he's got a playoff win under his belt. That's about it. Last year, he didn't even get to the postseason. So he ought to leave a little money on the table for Jerry Jones to go out and get some other talent or keep whatever talent they have. I think the better the Cowboys are, in the long run, the more money Dak Prescott is going to make. So I'm going to just for fun, disagree with Tony on this one. I'm going to say Emmitt Smith is right. But he might not be right for him to say it, but I'm saying it. Dak Prescott ought to consider taking the hometown discount because I think it'll help him in the long run.
So you guys are both wrong, then. That's what you're both saying.
I'll be on Emmitt's team on this one. That's all right.
Oh, you know, Jared Jones would be really happy.
Jared, we'd love to hear what I had to say there. That's... You know what? Now that you mention it, take Jerry for all he's worth.
All right.
Number four.
Former Alabama Crimson Tide quarterback Tua Tagovailoa is gearing up for this coming April's NFL draft. The left-handed Hawaiian is expected to be the second quarterback taken off the board behind Heisman Trophy winner Joe Burrow in this year's draft. Speaking with NFL Network's Steve Weich this morning, Tagovailoa discussed his dream playing scenario while updating his progress as he recovers from hip surgery ahead of the combine. Tagovailoa, when asked what if there was a system that he would like to play for, and he said, "If you're saying to me, if I can choose what team I want to play on, as far as my favorite team growing up, then I'd probably tell you the Cowboys." The quarterback went on to say, "With respect to playing with Dak Prescott, I'm not trying to bump him. I'll learn under him." So, if you're Jerry Jones, would you rather spend the money to sign Dak long-term or have a rookie quarterback who you could have under control for the next handful of years? And we'll start with you this time, Chris.
All right, so we're kind of continuing on from the previous story a little bit. So Jerry Jones maybe just got himself a little bit of leverage in his dealing with Dak Prescott.
But the Cowboys select, I believe, at 15, and
yeah,
Tua's
they'd have to trade way up, and they'd have to give up so much to get a shot at Tua. So, look, I think the Cowboys are going to wind up sticking with Dak Prescott, and I think they'll work out a deal one way or the other. Either Jerry Jones will have to pay up, or Dak will smarten up and take a little less. But, you know where I stand on Tua. I mean, the Dolphins were supposed to tank to get Tua last season. Yes, and they actually didn't tank.
They decided to show some heart, is
what
you're
saying.
They
showed some heart.
Fitzmagic.
And won five games. And you know what? They still might end up getting him. So I very rarely root for a certain player in the draft, but this is one time where I'm rooting for that, for my club to get Tua. I hope it turns out that way. The interesting thing is Miami might even have to trade up a spot or two to make sure that they get him, because there's some pressure coming from the Lions and some other teams ahead of them in the picking order.
There's also a report, too, that I saw that the Dolphins were more interested in Justin Herbert now out of Oregon, too.
Well, that's always something you're going to... If you're the Dolphins, you're smart to say that you also are interested in something else just to make sure that you don't want to go...
Smoke and mirrors.
Little smoke and mirrors, yeah. I mean, these guys never tell the truth. I mean, right, general managers are the biggest liars in the world when it comes to the draft.
Biggest artist of being able to say something without saying anything at all.
Exactly, yeah.
Tony, would you rather have a guy like Tua under control for a handful of years or pay big money for Dak?
It all depends on what my doctors tell me and how he looks, however healthy he is come combine time, how he looks at that point. It would be heavily weighed. My decision would be heavily weighed by what that information says. That being said, let's assume the Cowboys like the idea of a Tua Tagovailoa. Is Dak Prescott worth a first-round pick? Is he worth giving up that kind of pick in a move that would allow you to draft Tua?
It might be if he's asking for $40 million a year.
That's my point.
Right?
If there's anything that the Cowboys can do, if this is all assuming that they like that idea, you have to start exploring that market if you don't think that you can get a deal, or if you don't think that you want to pay a Dak Prescott upwards of $35 to $40 million. So ultimately, I think, like Chris said, they stick with Dak Prescott. They know what they're going to get from him. So we just have to sit back and see. I think ultimately they get something done.
What's interesting to me, though, guys, is Tua's being talked about so much that in a lot of ways it's overshadowing Joe Burrow completely, and he's the number one guy. You almost get the feeling that in a perfect world, if Tua were 100% healthy, most teams would rather have him than Joe Burrow.
I don't think there's any question.
But the Bengals but the Bengals aren't talking as if they're even thinking about Tua.
They should. If I'm the Bengals, I'm
you
not.
You stay the safe
I
course.
Yes, of course. At this point, yeah. I'm the Bengals. I can't keep. I got to get something right here at some point.
Well, then,
and that's not fair because they got AJ Green right. They've gotten some stuff right, but this is a quarterback we're talking about. This is a franchise changing position.
I think Tua has a chance to make somebody a playoff.
I do too.
Contender. I don't know that Joe Burrow can come in and make the
Bengals. I just don't know if I'm the Bengals. I can take that risk at this point as an organization
and pass up on almost a technically guaranteed
right
winner.
If it blows up, you have a lot less people on your head when that blows
Unfortunately,
up.
Unfortunately, that's the way a lot of people draft. Yeah. Though
but
they
that's
draft
that's
trying
true.
To stay away from criticism rather than drafting what they should draft.
But in this case, can you argue Joe Burrow is not worthy? Of
I hope the Bengals
pick?
Take Joe Burrow because that leaves two on the table
for your
for my clothes.
All right, number three. The past year and a half has been eventful for former Aztec San Diego State star Kawhi Leonard. After being traded to the Raptors after a rocky breakup with the Spurs, he goes on to win the Finals MVP with the Raptors, signs a big deal with the Clippers and then he goes on to win the All-Star MVP trophy, which was dedicated to Kobe Bryant. The man known as the Fun Guy didn't let the fun stop there. After all the All-Star Game festivities in Chicago, Leonard was spotted down in Mexico, most notably Cabo, with his girlfriend. And according to TMZ Sports, Leonard was seen walking around in a tank top that featured one of his famous slogans, "Don't be mad," as well as his own jersey number and name on the back of this tank top. Now, right. Tony, you're the only former pro athlete on this show, but if you guys were pro athletes, would you ever go out in public with your own jersey on?
Not a chance in hell. Would you ever catch me out with a Gwynn jersey on that was my own?
Can you imagine? You
might catch me with my dad's jersey on, but you would never catch me out. Ever, ever, ever.
You mean we wouldn't catch you out wearing a blinking bright yellow coat that says "Look at me" on Tony Gwynn Jr.?
Absolutely not. Absolutely. You know what else? It was hard to even find me unless you caught me like at the house.
It's hard to find you now.
It would be hard to find me in any team issued stuff, let alone my own jersey.
Yeah, I'd feel weird about that. But Kawhi Leonard is a different cat. I mean,
he is.
And we love him for it. So he kind of gets a pass, at least from me. Just because he is who he is. If he was any other athlete, I'd probably say it seems a little bit self-serving to be walking around with
your own gear on. I don't even think that it's a self-serving thing with him. And
I don't either.
He's, you know, Tom's asking me if I would, and that's just how I feel about it for myself. But I don't judge him because he's out there with his own thing. I wouldn't do it. Not a chance.
Would you say his nickname now is Mr. Fun?
Well, like he's been called the Fun Guy.
Fun Guy.
The Fun Guy.
Yeah.
So I was saying his fun didn't stop. But I love that the fact that this says, "Don't be mad," because it's like almost a disclaimer, like,
"Don't be mad. I am Kawhi Leonard, and I just happen to be that good." I don't know. When you're as good as he is and riding his hot streak as he's riding right now, you can pretty much wear whatever.
There ain't
you want.
No doubt about it, man. That dude
is
the truth.
Number two.
Kansas City Chiefs offensive coordinator and former Colorado running back Eric Bieniemy has withdrawn his name for consideration for the head coaching vacancy at his alma mater, according to a report from ESPN. The news came just hours after Alabama offensive coordinator Steve Sarkisian also withdrew his name from consideration for the job that was formerly occupied by Mel Tucker. Michigan State hired Tuck away from Colorado earlier this month after he went 5-7 in his only season in Boulder. Now, Bieniemy is one of the hottest candidates at any level and has interviewed for multiple NFL head coaching vacancies since taking over the Chiefs' OC job in 2018. He led the Chiefs to a win over the San Francisco 49ers in the latest Super Bowl earlier this month and helped quarterback Patrick Mahomes win the game's MVP. Now, is this move to stay with the Chiefs smart for Bieniemy, or should he have taken the head coaching job at Colorado to help him reach his ultimate goal of being an NFL head coach? Start with you this time, Chris.
I think staying in the NFL keeps you closer to getting a head coaching job in the NFL. And I'll tell you, one of the main reasons for that is if you're a college coach, you almost don't have time to interview for a head coaching job in the NFL. You got to be out, you know, recruiting 12 months out of the year. So I think Eric Bieniemy is doing the right thing here. But just bringing up his name still gets me thinking that the NFL is not doing the right thing here. I cannot believe that this guy is out there and available as a head coach, and I can't help but think it has something to do with the color of his skin. And the National Football League has got to change this. They've got to get this right. They've got to correct this, because Eric Bieniemy seems to be a surefire head coach if he were anybody else around the league. Super Bowl winning offensive coordinator. So, he's making the right move, but the NFL is still way off when it comes to Eric Bieniemy.
Tony?
I agree with Chris. I think he's making the right move. Shoot, you got Patrick Mahomes. You got the best quarterback in maybe the world right now on your team.
Not going to make you look any worse.
Not going to make you look bad. You know all your weapons are all signed up, and with that team for a little bit, this team has a chance to make a run. So, I agree with Chris as well that the better chance is staying close to the NFL. Very rarely are you pulled from the college ranks. I know my man in Arizona came from
Cliff Kingsbury
came, you know, from college and had some. I thought he had a pretty good season for his rookie year, but that's not the norm. There's usually offensive coordinators, defensive coordinators are getting the first crack. Yeah.
It's usually offensive coordinator. Win the Super Bowl as offensive coordinator, and then have your choice of jobs.
Yeah, except in this case. Yeah, so I also agree with Chris that the NFL's got to find a way to fix this. Guys like Eric Bieniemy, who, by the way, he didn't just come on the scene, by the way. He's been an offensive coordinator for a very long time. I remember when he was a young coach on the sidelines. So I think eventually he will get a job in the NFL.
And that doesn't guarantee that he's going to go and be a Hall of Fame NFL head coach.
Absolutely not.
But of all of the people that they give opportunities to, this guy's got to get one.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just no way the NFL can couch it any other way if they keep avoiding it.
That's the point, is that he deserves the opportunity.
That's right.
We're not sitting there saying that he is a surefire Hall of Fame coach or that he even have mild success. We're just saying that he deserves the opportunity to fail or succeed.
Do you think there's a scenario that he stays maybe with the Chiefs long enough that maybe Big Red Andy Reid decides to maybe step down and instead of, you know,
totally believe that that has weight in this decision. He's been with Andy Reid for a long time, not just in Kansas City. So I don't think Andy Reid is close to being done.
No.
I think he's got a lot of coaching left, but listen, you want to take over, if you can have a chance to do what we've seen Dutcher do here at San Diego State, fall into a situation like that.
The problem is, by the time Bieniemy took over, I think for Andy Reid, I think Patrick Mahomes would be on his way out.
You think Reid's going to coach that much longer?
Yeah, he's not stupid. He's going to stick around and be head coach of Patrick Mahomes as long as Patrick Mahomes is who he is.
I don't know. Just some of the things he kept saying over the course of that Super Bowl win, like afterwards, made me feel like he's getting close to that time.
We'll see.
Number one.
Could LSU quarterback Joe Burrow pull an Eli Manning and force his way out of Cincinnati before playing a snap? It's a question that has assumed the number one pick in the 2020 NFL draft that didn't exactly shoot down when he received the 2019 Davey O'Brien Award in Texas. I do have leverage, Burrow told the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. They have their process, and I have my process. We haven't even gotten to the NFL scouting combine yet. There's a lot of things that happen leading up to the draft and a lot of information gathered. Right now, I'm focused on being the best football player I can be. I'm in a unique spot. You can go watch my film. I don't have much to prove at my pro day and the combine, so I'm in a unique spot where I can focus on getting ready for this year's draft. So, do you guys think there's a possibility Joe Burrow could pull an Eli Manning and refuse to play for the Bengals? Start with you, Tony.
Listen, I don't know. I don't think I wouldn't do it. You know what I'm saying? That wouldn't be my way of going about it. But look how well it turned out for Eli Manning. Can you argue against that? Not only did it turn out well for him, back in the day, John Elway did the same exact thing. Wouldn't play baseball for a little bit. Came out. Look how that turned out.
Nobody remembers that the Baltimore Colts drafted John Elway.
Yes, yes.
And he just totally dissed him.
So I'm going to go play baseball. I mean, you can't argue with the effectiveness that has turned out when guys have done it. But it just depends on if that's your thing. If Joe Burrow feels like, and listen, I will say this. Much like in basketball, where you're drafted makes a has a huge impact on a lot of guys' careers, especially at the quarterback position. Yeah. So if he feels like, based on the interviews that he has, that these guys aren't capable of growing him as a quarterback, I can't be mad if that's the decision he comes to.
Yeah, he's getting his pre-combine draft process stuff being coached by Carson Palmer's brother, Jordan Palmer.
Oh, man.
So who knows exactly firsthand how the ownership of the Brown...
The Bengals
ownership goes. And then there's also another former Bengal, TJ Houshmandzadeh, coming out too and voicing his displeasure for the organization, saying, I played there, same ownership. That's the biggest thing.
It's not going to get any better.
I will say this. I saw Carson on... I can't remember what show it was, maybe a couple weeks ago. And he still had those same feelings about the Bengals. So this is recently.
Carson Palmer did about as well as anybody has ever done there for the Bengals.
Yep.
And that includes zero playoff wins. But he still did as good as just about anybody's ever done. You look, the Bengals are a special breed in the National Football League. I mean, they are an awful franchise. They have awful ownership. I think Joe Burrow is right to come out and say, hey, they're going to have to show me something before I commit to them.
Right.
I understand it's not a completely free society when it comes to where you're drafted, but Joe Burrow's correct. He does have some leverage here. I mean, if he never shows up with the Bengals, he could pull off an Eli Manning. Now, if you'd have asked me way back when, would Eli Manning tell the San Diego Chargers, I'm not going to San Diego? I would have said, no way. He'll mouth off about it, and he'll posture, and he'll do,
and he'll show up.
But he'll show up because that's what he's going to do, and I would have been wrong. So I think Joe Burrow is right to at least be out there talking like this, just to make sure that he's holding the Bengals accountable.
Yeah.
If you are going to take me with this number one pick, you better also plan on improving this franchise and this roster around me. So I like where he's coming from here, but in the end, my best guess would be that he would be a Bengal, just like my best guess would have been that Eli Manning would have been a Charger. So, for what that's worth.
All right.
That's it for the Big Five today on 97.3 The Fan.
Nice work, Tom.
Is that fine? Yes.
Nice work. All right, we got to get to break. It's 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock, right around the corner. We'll reset the show. Gwen and Chris, 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.